Hey now, welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarland. We are back with Patrick McCaffrey this week, post Big Ten tournament, pre NCAA tournament run. Patrick, how's 24-hour quarantine going in the NCAA bubble?
Bro, it's kind of nuts. Like, it doesn't feel super weird because we've kind of been quarantined like all year. Like, in a sense, but it's like, but it's different because, like, if we're in Iowa City, like, I have my car, like, if I want to go do something, like, I can, I just got to be safe about it, or whatever. But, like, in this, like, you literally, like, I'm sure I could, like, nobody's, it's not like somebody's standing outside of my door, like, making sure I don't walk out. So, like, if I really wanted to walk out of my room, I could walk out, but, like, I don't know where I would go. So, it's like, we're really, like, on lockdown here. So, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so for the next month, are you guys basically literally confined to the hotel where it's like you guys cannot leave, walk around, do absolutely anything?
I think there will be times where like we can go like because like they have a weight room, so we're lifting tomorrow. Like they have a convention center where we're going to practice. We practice today. Like we practice in like an hour. And then like I don't know what activities they would have for us to do like outside at this point. I'm assuming that they'd have something because like you can't just keep us inside for however long we're going to be here. So I would think that they have something special outside. Like yesterday before we were in like the bubble for real, like we went and played wiffle ball. So that was really fun. So like, yeah, I would hope that we get to do more things like that. Like, so we're not completely confined to this space, but who knows?
So important question then, who won wiffle ball? Like what were the teams who hit the
My
most
team
home runs?
Won.
How'd it go?
It was so not everybody got to play because a couple of the guys were in study hall. So my team was me, Connor, Jordan, Chris Murray, and Wieskamp. And then Brad Floyd, the trainer, was the all-time pitcher. And then the other team was Ash, Michael, Luca, Keegan, and the strength coach, Coach Maxwell.
So did anyone strike out during wiffle ball?
Yes. I will not be naming who, but yes, some people did strike out. I can tell you it was not me. I did not strike out. But, yes, some people did strike
and,
out.
And I'm assuming it's not Connor, right, because he's, like, you know, also on the Iowa baseball team. So.
And I'm assuming it's not Ash, because if it was, we would have known it was Ash. Yeah. So we've already eliminated three names.
Ash had a really good day yesterday. Ash was a good wiffle ball player yesterday. He was really good. He carried their team for sure.
So are you guys not able to even hang out in each other's rooms?
Not during this quarantine period, but we will be able to like when it's over. I would think because it's not like I said, it's not like there's like a person outside every room. Like if I really wanted to walk across the hall and go into whoever's room, I don't think anybody would stop me.
Did any of the guys bring anything to like keep them busy? Like,
well, I have my PS4. I haven't hooked it up yet. But I have it. And then, like, a lot of other guys brought, like, their PS4s, Xboxes, whatever, just to keep them occupied.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of 2K grinds.
Oh, yeah. A lot of 2K, a lot of Fortnite.
You still play Fortnite?
You said what?
You still play Fortnite?
Oh, I love Fortnite.
I can't. Horrible. See, like, because I am too, and I can't. I feel like there's a skill gap between me, 21-year-old, and, like, a 12-year-old. I really feel like there's a skill gap now, and there's kids on there that just kick my ass.
No, there absolutely is.
Yeah.
100%. I am terrible. I try not to think about, like, who I'm playing against when I'm playing Fortnite. Like, I try not to think, like, this 10-year-old just absolutely just fucked me up. But, like, because, like, I'm horrible, bro. Like, I am so bad. Like, so it's, like, I just kind of play just, like, mainly just to, like, just hang out with my friends, like, kind of, like, virtually, I guess. Like, because, like, we just play, and most of the time we just, like, kind of shoot the shit, whatever, just talk the whole time anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But, yeah, no, dude, it's fun. I love Fortnite.
So how long, like, have you officially been in this, like, NCAA quarantine almost?
I think I'm on, what time is it? 3:16. I would say probably since like, I think we had testing last night, like right after the selection show. Okay. So then like we went pretty much straight from like testing, which was right after the selection show. Like I just said, and like straight to our rooms. And then we got to leave our rooms for testing this morning. We had testing at 8:30 this morning and then came back up. We just had a Zoom meeting, which is weird because we're all on the same floor. Like, we're all within, like, 50 feet of each other.
Is anyone so like much. Banging on the wall, like
no,
next
yeah,
to someone's
literally.
Room?
Like, yeah. So it's like we're all like on the same floor. So it's weird that we had a Zoom meeting, but we did because we're supposed to, whatever, just because like we had to go over stuff. And then, yeah, but that's pretty much it. And I think it's once we get our second negative test. So once our test results come back from this morning, we'll be good to go.
So who are your neighbors
for the next month? CJ Frederick is to the right of me. And I think Chris Murray is to the left of me. And Keegan Murray's right across the hall. I think J-Bo's next to CJ. Like, we're all right around each other.
So how has quarantine food been in the bubble so far?
Horrible. Yeah, no, the first meals that we got, like, I didn't even go pick up the bag they gave us for breakfast today. I have, like, my own stuff. Yeah. But, like, for dinner last night, thank God somebody had, like, a cheesesteak left over because we had Jersey Mike's earlier in the day. So somebody had cheesesteak, so I ate that for dinner. And, like, so I ate my dinner and I ate part of my dinner and part of my lunch today. But, like, it's I'm not going to lie, it's not very good. So, like, I just kind of, like, half-heartedly ate it. I ate the salad because it's hard to screw up salad. Just throw a bunch of ranch on there and you're okay. I'm okay with that. But then, like, it's like the other stuff was weird.
You guys,
hold on, I'm getting a call. My bad. What's up, KD?
Hey, Mac, what's up? Hey, couple questions for you.
All right, let me hear them.
For your birthday, cake flavor, chocolate or vanilla?
Vanilla.
Vanilla. Icing flavor, chocolate or vanilla?
Vanilla.
Yeah. Do you have a gluten allergy?
I do not.
All good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kitty.
Yep.
Yeah, I turned 21 in the bubble. Like, I'll turn 21 the day of our first game. So that's fun. But, yeah, that's what that call was about.
And wow, Jack's about to say we're leaving that in.
What a memorable 21st, seriously, to be, like, in the bubble. Like, the most stereotypical 21st is to get absolutely, like, shit-cocked, but you can't. Like, you're in the bubble at the NCAA tournament, so – But it will be even more memorable being with all your teammates and whatnot. So that's
I mean, like, I get to play, like, because at the end of the day, like, if you think about it, like, I've been dreaming about playing the NCAA tournament my whole life, mm-hmm. and like, I get to do that on my 21st birthday. Like, that's pretty cool. So it's like, I'm not super upset about it, and then save myself a headache.
For real. Yeah. So back to the food, though, real. So what has been the things that you've, like, avoided? Like, what have been the options? Have you guys gotten, like, a wide variety of options, or has it been, like, two or three options where that's all
you need? But previously, it hasn't been that bad. Like during the Big Ten tournament, because, like, so we've been in the same hotel the whole time. So during the Big Ten tournament, we, like, the food was okay. It's, like, normal hotel food, like. Like, I kind of know what to eat and what not to eat. Like, I usually stick with pasta because it's hard to screw up pasta and, like, marinara sauce. So it's like, I usually stick with that. Like, if there's mashed potatoes, I'll eat that. Like, chicken soup, like, stuff like that. But then, like, this food was a little different because, like, they delivered it to our room. So it's like, they had to, like, take our order and stuff. And, like, by the time it got here, like, it just was kind of just not very good. Like, I got, like, chicken. It was, like, rice, like, green beans, like, stuff like that, and it just was not great.
Is there a vending machine on your floor at least?
No, but we have snacks. Like, our trainer has a bunch of snacks, so it's like, I have snacks too, like, and like I said, like, I left over Jersey Mike's, so it's like, I just have to suck it up for a little bit here.
So, you know, conference tournaments and obviously the NCAA tournaments are known for giving the athletes who participate goodie bags, gifts, and other memorable stuff. What have you received so far?
We actually got some pretty cool stuff. We didn't get anything for the Big Ten tournament, but for the NCAA tournament, we got we got a box, and it had not a plaque, but like something like I can like hang up like over my door, like in my room, like stuff like that. So like, that's cool. Like, it's a March Madness thing. Like, we got like March Madness masks, obviously. We got like a March Madness hoodie. We got like a flag. We got like a towel. And then they also gave us like in one of the bags, they gave us like 5 sticks of deodorant, like literally deodorant for like a year. And then like they gave us like shampoo, conditioner, and like body wash because we're going to be here for a while. So it's like we don't just have to use the hotel stuff over and over. So like there was a whole bag just like full of like stuff like that. And it's like, and there was like disinfecting wipes. And if like, and if you don't like the stick deodorant, they give us the spray deodorant. So it's like stuff like that. And then I'm trying to think what else we got. Like, oh, they gave us John Thompson's book. That's all I can remember off the top of my head. They gave us some socks. Like, so it's like it was pretty cool stuff. I was a fan.
So are you going to finish the John Thompson book by the time you're done with the tournament? Is that the goal?
To be honest, like, I'm not really like a book reader. I like, I'm more so like, if I was going to do anything, I'd try to listen to it. Like, I think that's easier.
Well, I was going to say, like, I think your challenge should be when you're not hooping or not playing 2K is I want a John Thompson quote once a week.
Okay.
Every chapter.
Yeah, no, I can try that. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but if I come back on, I'll try that.
Okay, so Selection Sunday, I want to talk about yesterday. You know, obviously you guys got together as a team to watch it. Like, I'm sure it was probably cool to just be with the guys and stuff. But were you guys kind of like, we know where we're going to be? Like, did you kind of know that you were going to be
sitting at two? We knew we were pretty much locked as a two. We didn't know, like, where on the two line we would be, but we knew, like, we were going to be a two.
So what was your
knee-jerk reaction when you saw Grand Canyon as the team that you guys are facing, of all teams? Like, I personally would not expect March Madness to start and then, like, that 15 seed team, like, to be Grand Canyon. Like, that's just completely out of left field, in my opinion. I never saw
it coming. If we're a two seed, like, I knew that the 15 was going to be like a school like Grand Canyon, like, stuff right. Was like, gonna be like Grand Canyon or like Oral Roberts or stuff like that. And it's like, I mean, like, I'm sure some people can look at Grand Canyon at the beginning and be like, oh, like Grand Canyon, like what? But it's like, I mean, Bryce Drew's their coach. He's a really good coach. Like, he's a proven coach. Like, they have good players, they have experience. And like, at the end of the day, like, this was the point. Cause like my dad is somebody who's like really like, my dad spent most of his career coaching mid-major teams. Like, he spent most of his career as like a 13, 15, 16, 9, 8. Like, so it's like he knows what it's like to be in that position. So it's like, at the end of the day, like, this is a point that I think really stuck with a lot of people on our team, was like, they won their way into this tournament. Like, it.
And now Patrick froze.
Hey, this is all the NCAA's fault. We're going to keep all of this in. This is all of their fault. They don't have a control on anything. The Wi-Fi, the testing, the food situation, that's can't do that. And then the deodorant, give them something else. Like,
I know. I'm
surprised there wasn't
even good Wi-Fi.
I'm surprised there wasn't a fidget spinner in that bag.
For real. For real. I mean, all the time they're going to be wasting sitting on, like, on their computers and phones waiting for the internet to load.
You know, of all things that you should have had figured out, it, like, I feel like this year has taught everyone you kind of need internet to do things now when you don't leave and you do, like, do anything face-to-face. So to not have good Wi-Fi in Indianapolis for these guys is fucking inexcusable.
Yeah,
I don't even know what to say. I'm at a loss of words. I think we should just get rid of the NCAA and have someone else host this tournament.
Yeah, let's let Dave Portnoy host it.
Speaking of that, that was funny. There were little rumblings of, like, Barstool. They said it on Pardon My Take. I think I was listening to today's episode, and they were like, yeah, why don't we just have, like, a COVID invitational for all the teams that got COVID and couldn't do it? And they'll just have COVID hilarious. On the floor and play.
So currently we have two things of Patrick. We have actual Patrick, moving Patrick, and we have frozen Patrick.
Yeah, sorry about that, fellas. I don't know what's going on.
No, it's not your fault. Yeah, it's the NCAA.
It's all your fault.
So talking about Grand Canyon, one thing, not to cut you off, you can finish in a second, is, you know, a lot of people are super I obviously think, you know, we'll be okay against Grand Canyon, but, you know, they have the number one defensive team in their conference. Like, you know, they know how to play basketball, and I think that's one thing people underestimate whenever there's a 15 seed. Like, I grew up with FGCU basketball, Dunk City. They were a 15 seed, and they went to the Sweet 16. So that's the best thing about March Madness, is anybody can win.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, because at the end of the day, like, I think something that is also really important and people don't always take into account is, like, well, like, I was – the point I was making, like they won their way to get here. Like, it's not a fluke that they're in the tournament. And it's, like, a lot of these teams, like, unless they just got hot at the right time, like – they like Grand Canyon, I think, I don't know their exact record off the top of my head, but I know they were 9-3 in their league and then won their conference tournament. So it's like a lot of these teams, like they have winning DNA. Like they win, they beat who they play. Granted, like their schedule is different than like ours or whatever, but like winning DNA is something that like you need to take into account. And it's like these teams, like they know how to win. Like by no means are they like a team that we can overlook or whatever. And it's like, especially in this tournament, you never know what's going to happen. So it's like, you just got to take it one game at a time and handle it that way.
Is there a little bit of anxiousness right now going on with you guys where you don't play till Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is there like, just kind of like the jitters of like, you just want to be out on the court already, like experience the first game. Like, are you guys kind of just like, we have to get through the week, or is it kind of like you're using the week to really game plan, get ready? Like, what's your schedule looking like? How have you guys been feeling now that you know what seed you are and who you're playing?
No, yeah, I mean, we feel good. And I feel like we have a really experienced team. Like J-Bo, Luca, Connor, those guys have seen it all. They've played in the NCAA tournament. They've played in Big Ten tournaments. They've played, like, they've done it all. So it's like they kind of know what to expect. So it's like, I don't think there's really anxiousness from them at that point. And, like, the Big Ten tournament we were just in was a grind. So it's like, okay, like give us some time to kind of recharge our batteries, rest our bodies, so we can really kind of put forth our best, like going into the NCAA tournament.
And touching on the Big Ten tournament, you know, you guys beat Wisconsin, which, you know, was a good win. It was a nice little 3-0 sweep against them this season. And then obviously it was a battle against Illinois. Coming out of the Big Ten tournament, what have you guys kind of taken away from that experience, and how are you trying to build off of it, even though you didn't reach the goal you guys were hoping to reach with the Big Ten tournament?
Well, like, I mean, like, if we're being honest, Illinois is playing as good as anybody in the country right now. I would take Illinois over pretty much everybody at this point. And we were right there with them. And we didn't really, like, we didn't really play all that well. And you have to give them some credit for that. But also, like, we just didn't play. I don't think we played, like, as good as we can play. But I feel like we're definitely trending kind of in that direction of where we can get to that point where we can start playing like our best basketball. Cause like, I think that's something, like, I think we've shown flashes of how good we can be. And I think there's been games where we've played like really good games or whatever, but I don't think, like, I don't know. Well, I would hope that we haven't played like our best basketball yet. So it's like, cause at the end of the day, like, we were right there with them, and like they're as playing as well as anybody in the country right now. I would take them over just about anybody. So it's just kind of like we know where we stand in that regard, and we know what we need to work on, and it's a learning experience. And there's a chance we could see them again. So it's like something that we can just kind of keep building toward and just kind of try to build off. But right now we just need to worry about Grand Canyon and how we're going to beat those guys.
What's your schedule looking like for this week? So what are you guys kind of doing the next couple of days? Training, preparation-wise, what, you know, so on.
So we'll have meetings. Like, we usually have, like, we'll have, like, several meetings a day, like, probably two or three. We have practice at 4:30, so in, like, an hour, because I'm an hour ahead of you guys. We have practice at 4:30. So that'll be good to kind of just kind of get out there and, like, run around and just, you know, kind of touch a basketball, because it's been a day, like, it's been a day and a half. So it's just kind of like, it'll be good to kind of do that and kind of get our legs back underneath us, because we needed these couple rest days. So I think those were big for us. But so that'll be good. And then tomorrow, like, we'll have a meeting. We'll have another meeting tonight. Like, we'll have dinner, everything that, and we'll introduce Grand Canyon at some point. And then like tomorrow, we have like COVID testing in the morning. And then I think we have a lift tomorrow. I think they have it set up to where, like, they have like racks and stuff like that, so we're going to be able to get lifts in. And so we'll get a lift and then practice again and meetings and everything like that. So it'll be a pretty busy stuff. But I think the morning is more so reserved for classes and everything like that.
Do you guys have like a team motto, phrase, or like mantra that you guys are kind of rolling with for, you know, this run, like an inner thing that you guys are kind of saying, or, you know, like, there are great championship winning teams like the Chicago Cubs in 2016, Jack, that have had mottos and mantras where they, you know, go on win it all.
Sam, we'll literally be dead the next time the Cubs win it. So I really couldn't care less.
Give us a couple of years.
Wait, hold on. I'll answer your question in a sec, but you're from Florida, but you're a Chicago sports fan. How does that work?
So I'm originally from Chicago. So when I was young, we lived there. And right So right when I started to like Chicago sports and stuff, like my first baseball game ever was at Wrigley Field when I was young and everything. So right when we moved was like right when I became a huge sports fan.
When did you move? How old were you?
I was 5 or 6. And I was like already bought into sports, like sports junkie at that point.
How'd you end up at Iowa?
I mean, so my dad went to Iowa, so I had that. And then obviously Big Ten sports can't really beat that. And then Iowa City kind of sold me.
No, that makes sense. I was just wondering like what your ties to Iowa, but then now that makes sense. I understand. Yeah. But yeah, as far as a mantra goes, like, I don't know if we have anything specific that we say, but things like that, I think, are kind of come up organically, and I think could eventually develop into something. And so it's like, I don't think we have anything exactly right now, but I think our biggest thing, you know, is just one game at a time. I think that's what's really important, especially in this tournament, because it's like we have to win 6 games in a row. So it's like, okay, like if you look at that, like, well, that's a lot of games, but it's like if we just take it one game at just try to win one game at a time. And just kind of take it one possession at a time and do things like that. And I think that if we do that, it's in our best interest and we could have our best product.
Yeah, for sure. And Jack, before you go, I just wanted to quickly say the last podcast me and Jack did, I ended the podcast by basically interviewing Jack. And now it was flipped on me where Patrick interviewed me for a minute.
Yeah.
Full circle moment right there.
That is true.
Everybody's getting interviewed.
Something I just did this morning, just like it was right after I woke up, I was just like, you know, let's go take a look at some of the best like Cinderella stories that we've ever like seen while growing up. And the first one that I had from 2010 was 9-seed UNI beating 1-seed Kansas. And I guess I took it for granted, but being 10 years old, holy shit, that was really insane. And I never really, like, I guess just being, like, a kid that just took for granted. And then that happens, and then that was pretty sweet. But I don't think anything beats what happened this past year with Virginia losing to UMBC and then for them to come back and win the Natty the coming year. Like, that's just – this is totally March. Like, it is not the most March thing ever for that to happen.
Dunk City is the best one by far. They beat number 2-seed Georgetown, then they beat San Diego State. And they made the Sweet 16. They were 15.
I haven't heard from them since. What are your favorite memories, Patrick, from March Madness growing up? Whether it's Cinderella or just a certain player in March Madness or like a performance.
Well, I mean, so a lot of my years growing up, like I grew up in Iowa, but like a lot of my years growing up, I lived in Albany, New York, and Jimmer Fredette was from Albany, New York. So I would say probably first like March Madness player to come to mind is Jimmer Fredette. Like I thought he was a beast, but I would say my favorite like March Madness moments specifically were a lot of my dad's teams at Siena, if we're being honest, like, cause I don't think people realize like how good those teams were. And we've talked about that on this pod before, but like they beat Ohio State the 1 year in the 8-9 game. And then they had Louisville, who was number one overall seed that year. Louisville had like Samardo Samuels, Terrence Williams, and like stand up, we were up like 4 at the under 4. We ended up losing. I think there was a questionable call, if I remember right. But like we had Louisville on the ropes. So it's like I would say those are probably my favorite memories. And then also like, I know it sounds biased, but like the Iowa games, like the Woodbury's tip in, like I would say like the Tennessee game, even though they lost, like they came back from being down however much, and that was a really fun game to be a part of. And everything like that. Like, so I would say those are probably some of my favorites, but I'm trying to think of like my like non-biased ones. Jimmer Fredette was one of my favorite players just because he was from the same area that I was. And then also like guys like Taylor Battle, who played at Penn State. I don't know if you guys remember who he is, but like he coaches at Penn State now. He's one of the assistants, but he's the all-time leading scorer there. And he was somebody who was also like from that area and somebody I kind of grew up around. So like, I would say those two guys were some of my favorite players growing up, like in March Madness, besides like my dad's players.
And speaking of your dad, today it was announced he got a contract extension through like 2027, 2028. So he's going to be in Iowa for a lot longer. as his son, but also as a player and just being around the team, like when that kind of came out and you guys knew that was in the works, like, you know, were you just kind of like happy to see that, like what you guys have built and what you guys are doing right now is just kind of going to continue to grow and see that hope, you know, success hopefully be sustained over years to come?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's obviously really cool. I think it kind of is a relief to the players because it's like, okay, he's not going anywhere. It's like a relief to the recruits because a lot of kids like will sign different schools or whatever and they don't know the coach is on a contract year. And if they don't make the tournament or they don't do whatever, he's going to get fired. So they're going to go into college with a new coach, like that sort of thing. So I think like, okay, his contract's for 2028. So it's like that sets some stability here. Like, I think that's something that recruits need to look at, like as opposed to other schools where like their contracts are different. And I think obviously, I think Mr. Barton does a really good job of this. And he's done the same thing, I think, with football and Coach Ferentz and then basketball too with Coach Bluter, is like, he's been really like consistent. And it's like, I feel like a lot of different teams, like they want like success now or like, and it's like, if you have one bad year, all of a sudden the AD forgets all the things that you did before that. And I think Mr. Bardo has done a really good job at keeping that in perspective and realizing like, okay, like it's college athletics. Like you're going to have good years. You're going to have bad years. So as long as like, and like, I would say that my dad, like they had the one bad year where they were 14 and 19. But other than that, like they've been in the hunt for the NCAA tournament every year. So it's like, and he's finished in the top half of the Big Ten, like 9 of the 11 years here and like stuff like that. And it's like the Big Ten's been the best league in the country since he's been here. So it's like a lot of people say, like, talk about Iowa football in this regard too, same with basketball, like, oh, well, like Barta's okay with mediocrity. Like the football team going 8-4 is not mediocrity. Like finishing in the top half of the best league in the country, like winning 20 games pretty much every, like that's not mediocrity. So I just think that that statement is really ignorant. And so, like, that's kind of something that I think Mr. Bart is able to see and something that I really respect about him and that he's able to kind of look past that and kind of see the bigger picture because I feel like that's lost a lot in these days of college athletics.
I agree, and I think even just continuing to look at that bigger picture, like, with the brand that Iowa has built on becoming one of the greater for all sports developmental program for athletes, bringing people who aren't necessarily the 4 or 5 stars, bringing in 3 stars maybe, or just people that weren't on anyone's radar – and developing, and like you said, 8-4 with, if you look at like Iowa's roster compared to Mississippi State's that year, they play in that Outback Bowl, the amount of stars and high octane recruits that were on Mississippi State compared to Iowa, vast, like night and day, but
yeah,
who won that game? And so I think it really speaks to Iowa and like what they really care about and what that standard is. And it's been a continued standard and we know like what that standard is. And that's why we've had this, I think, sustained success in all sports. And I'd say a really concrete foundation from a coach's perspective, because they've been here for so long, they've been able to lay that foundation.
Yeah. And I would say something like unless you grow up in Iowa, which like a lot of my teammates have, you don't want to go to Iowa. Like, mm-hmm. You don't know about Iowa. Like, you don't know anything about, like unless you grow up in Iowa, you don't really unless you have Iowa ties or like your pops played here or whatever, your mom played here or stuff like that. Like, unless you have Iowa ties, like, there's not, like no kids want to grow up and play Iowa. But, like, at the end of the day, like, nobody wanted Luke Garza until later in his AAU career, like really late. My dad offered Luke Garza, like, a year before all the other high majors started looking at him. Nobody wanted Keegan Murray. Like, we were his, like, pretty much, like, Western Illinois was his only scholarship out of high school. They went to DME, and I'm pretty sure Iowa was their first scholarship, and they took it because they wanted to go here all the time. So it's like, nobody wanted Keegan or Chris Murray. Like, Jordan Bohannon, like, Drake and you and I pulled both his offers. All he's done is make more threes than anybody to ever play here and have more assists than anybody to ever play here. Nobody wanted Aaron White. Like, nobody wanted any of those guys. So it's like, nobody really wanted even Devin Marble. Like, Michigan State, they both looked over Devin Marble. Like, all those guys. Whereas, like, some, like, people wanted Woodbury and Gasell and stuff like that. So, like, those situations were a little different. But, like, a lot of our, like, really high-profile guys, like, nobody wanted Peter Jock.
Like, no. I lived in the state of Iowa when that whole Peter Jock, when he got hurt, and he went from being that top 50 guy to – who knows what's going to happen to Peter Jock. And he comes here and blossoms.
If he didn't come to Iowa, he's going to Drake.
Right.
Yeah. If he didn't go to Iowa, he's going to go to Drake. And like, and so it's like, those were literally his only two options, like Iowa and Drake. And so it's just like, just stuff like that, bro. And it's like, I think that's something that's been really undervalued. Like, obviously nobody's going to recruit me and Connor because of just like, just because of who our dad is, whatever. But like, we could keep going down the line of the people that like just mm-hmm. wanted like nobody. Like CJ was I think CJ was more heavily recruited than people think. CJ was pretty heavily recruited, but like still, it's not like CJ was heavily recruited, but like it's not like. Like it's hard to compete with those different schools in football. Like mm-hmm. Iowa football is the same thing. Like occasionally you'll get somebody like Luca or like Tyler Cook or like somebody that you kind of have to go against like bigger schools for, and you'll get some of those guys, but you won't get some of those guys. And it's like, so it's just like, okay, we need to kind of build up. And like, I think it's cool that basketball and football have the same mindset. It's like, kind of, we're able to kind of like, we evaluate, we don't just look at whatever anybody's ranked or whatever. And I think something that also is really important is our staff really prioritizes is like character. Like you can't be getting in trouble off the court. You can't be doing stuff like that because like otherwise they just won't take you. Like if you're an asshole to your high school coach, your AAU coach, whatever, like they're just not gonna take you. And I think that's something that a lot of coaches like regarding like a certain individual's talent level will kind of look past. Is like their character, but like here, like, and in football too, like it's like I'm not saying that no, like nothing bad has ever happened to like an Iowa athlete, but like it's been very like it's few and far between, especially compared to like other programs, just in terms of the character and everything and all the stuff that goes on here. So that speaks to the coaches, I would say.
Yeah, and going through the list of players and just talking about everything, you know, with all the Iowa sports books focusing on Iowa basketball. Do you think this extension, especially with a run in the tournament this year, might silence a lot of the Fran critics that have been all over Twitter, where when things go well, they praise you guys, but kind of ignore giving him some praise. And when things go bad, it's all, you know, on Fran.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I think like fans, that's a kind of a tricky concept because like there's fair weather fans in every fan base. It's not like you can't say like Iowa's fan base is where, like if you win, they're going to love you. If you lose, they're going to hate you. Like that's just kind of how it is. So I feel like, but, and like there's level headed fans, there's fans who are more knowledgeable than others. So it's like fans is a tricky concept, but yeah, I mean like at the end of the day though, like the Fran critics or whatever you want to call them, like I would just say that's rooted a lot by ignorance and maybe like they're influenced by like kind of maybe like how intense he is or whatever. But something that I really struggle to kind of understand is how like people will try to downgrade his character or say he's a bad person when like all of his former players, all of his former coaches, everybody who's been around our program and seen him day to day, even the media, like those guys that see him more so than other people, like they know like where his heart is. So it's like they know like I mean, I'm going to trust like the guys in our locker room, the guys who interact with him on a daily basis. And the guys who have interacted with him on a daily basis for years, like his former players and his former assistants and whoever, like over just some dude on Twitter sees him scream at somebody or sees a 15-second press clip where maybe he was a little short with the report. Like, I'm just going to always side with those guys. I don't know. Maybe I'm fucked up. But, like, I just think that those opinions are about 1,000 times more valuable than somebody from the outside. So it's like I don't really take any of those, like, into account because, like, I mean, he's been in the NCAA tournament, what? Like, this is our sixth time in the tournament since he's been here. And that might not even be counting last year where we would have gotten in, like, where we would have been in the tournament. Like, and I think also something like needs to be taken into account is, like, how far it's came since he's been here. Because, like, quite frankly, we were horrible. And, like, now, like, what, we're a 2-seed in the tournament? Like, so it's just, like, we had the National Player of the Year. So it's just, like, I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, we're a 2-seed. We're, what, 20-7? All of our losses have been pretty close. Like, we haven't gotten like – so it's just, like, I don't know, man. It's, like, hard to really – sorry, I'm kind of rambling on.
No.
This was a good question.
I went to your Twitter, man, and you kind of, like, broke your Twitter silence, but you retweeted a tweet from Connor Feinland, and it says almost all former players of Coach McCaffrey still watch every one of his Iowa Hoops games. The mark of a coach making a lasting impact so much more than wins and losses. I think that speaks to everything you've just said.
Yeah. And like, so like, and then Doug Gottlieb tweeted that thread last week. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like, so I actually was texting with Doug Gottlieb like about that. And then we just started talking about our team and everything like that. But like another one of it, like a couple of his other former players tweeted like under it. So it's like, and I reached out to one of them who I've like kept in touch with over the years. Cause I've kept in touch with a lot of those guys. And like, we follow each other on Instagram and all that type of stuff. And like, and I, cause like at the end of the day, like, cause like my dad gets a lot of heat or whatever, right? Just like, just cause of the position that he's in. But like those guys, like speaking out, speaking for him, like is like, just kind of makes it all worth it. And like, it really like kind of like makes like all the negativity like worth it, because like at the end of the day, they know where his heart is. They know like what he's about. So it's like, as long as those guys love him, cause they get to see him every day. So it's like, his players love him. Everybody who's worked for him has loved him. So it's like, anybody who like thinks that they can speak on him or his character or however, like, I mean, you can question like the subs or however you want, like the minutes distribution, what play he called, whatever. Although, like, granted, most of those people don't know shit about that, but like, that's something that you can question. But like, I don't understand the people who try to question his character and everything like that, because anybody who knows him for real knows like what he's about. So it's like, that's something that I've been pretty like passionate on. And I think like with all of his former players speaking out, like it's even more so incredibly just fucking ridiculous that anybody would still say anything like that.
Well, to go off of that too, I want to take another angle on this is, you know, if people want to discount former players or whatever, because they'll be like, oh, he played for him, of course they like him, whatever, is you look at opposing Big Ten coaches and what they say about Fran, or even people who have just faced him, and all the praise they give him. Like, I say John Beilein's one of them, where he's on Big Ten Network all the time just talking about how great of a guy Fran is and how, you know, he really admires, you know, his coaching, but also who he is as a person. And when you see guys who competed against him saying that, I think that even speaks out more than anything else. It's just the respect among
his peers. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like when you get that respect from your colleagues, because like at the end of the day, like you can sit here and say like, oh, he's a bad coach, whatever. But it's like, who am I going to believe when it comes to basketball intelligence or mindset? Like Hawkeye_46, Hawk fan 12, like on Twitter, or John Beilein. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's just like it. So it's just like, it's almost like, I hate that this is a discussion, but like, yeah. I like that you guys brought it up, but like, I hate that it's a discussion. And I hate that people like talk about it because it's so stupid, but like, it's talked about enough to where like it should be addressed.
Yeah. And
speaking, so I appreciate you guys like giving me the opportunity to talk about that.
Yeah, of course. You know, Jack talked about you hopping on Twitter for a minute, and I, you know, talked to you about this privately, but why did you decide to hop on Twitter? What was the moment?
That. It had to have felt so fucking sweet just to go on and then be like, BRB, yeah. I'm heading back.
Yeah, because you made it very clear to us on and off air that you were, you know, not going to touch Twitter for a while. So I was, you know, when I saw that, I got pretty hyped. I'm not going to lie.
No, bro, I'm not going to. The Wisconsin game was so fun.
It was like, awesome.
Like, and not even necessarily – like, the game itself was really fun, and I felt like I had some moments in the game where I did some cool stuff. And, like, it was the first time we had, like we had a decent amount of fans there, bro. So, like, that was, like – and so it's, like, we've had games and stuff where I've played well, but it's, like, we haven't had it in front of, like in the magnitude that we had it there. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, a big game. Like, anytime you beat Wisconsin, like, that's fun because, like, they have a great program, obviously. And then, like, we were running back in the tunnel, and all of the Iowa fans, like, because they were, like, socially distanced, like, throughout the arena, but they all came in, like, over the tunnel. So all of them are screaming, like, Hawkeye Elvis is up there going like this. Like, my uncle's up there screaming his ass off. So everybody's doing stuff like that. So it's, like, that makes it, like, so much more enjoyable and so fun, bro. And because it's, like, I'd forgotten, like, the fan presence, like, in college basketball. And that was something that was so great to have back. And then, like, we're all having fun in the locker room, and, like, it was just a great night. So it's, like, that's something that, like, I want – like, I just kind of wanted to hop on and just say, like I said, like, that was really fun. Like, that was so fun. So it's, like, because it was, and I wanted people to know that. And I wanted to know that, like, I really appreciated, like, the support that they gave us and everything like that, because it was awesome, bro. It was one of the best nights of my life. And, like, we're dancing in the locker room, doing all that type of stuff. So it's, like, it was super fun, bro.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, one thing that I talked to you about before the game was we were talking about, you know, playing in a football stadium and stuff because you guys were playing Lucas Oil. So what was that like where, you know, obviously, like, you felt the fan energy and stuff, but it was still, like, distance away in this huge, you know, stadium. So what was it like to, you know, play in a big football stadium compared to playing even in an NBA arena for a game?
Yeah. No, so, okay. So – it's eerily similar to the Carrier Dome. That's the best way I think I could describe it. And we played in the Carrier Dome last year. Mm-hmm. So it's like I was kind of familiar with that. Like the Carrier Dome's different, and like we had only played there once, but like this place was really like it was pretty much exactly because like they have two courts set up, one like for each, for so they can play more games in the tournament. So it's like we only had like it was like half of it. So like it, and that's how the Carrier Dome is. Like once the Final Four happens, I think they'll move it more central, so it'll be different. But like this was exactly like the Carrier Dome, and the depth perception I don't think was a super big thing in terms of that, because like if you're shooting from the right corner in the stands is like this, it looks like a pretty normal like arena, like that sort of thing. And like the backdrop wasn't super crazy or anything like that, so I thought it was like relatively normal, and it looked a lot like the Carrier Dome, and I would say that's the best way to describe it.
That's sick. And one thing I wanted to ask you is like, with, you know, you guys, you know, planning to be there hopefully for a long time, but already been there for a little bit now, what have you guys done to like keep it loose and keep it fun? Cause obviously you're excited about it. Like you've been dreaming about this. All your teammates have been dreaming about, you know, this moment. This is what you guys have sacrificed for all year to be mm-hmm. in this moment. So, you know, how have you guys not let the pressure of trying to win a game get to you guys where it's like, you know, you guys have the goal of winning, you guys want to have fun while doing it. Like how have you kept it loose?
Well, I would say like we have a lot of like really good personalities on our team. And I would say that starts at the top, like with like Jordan Bohan and Connor McCaffrey, Luka Garza, like Joe Wieskamp can like leads, but he's more quiet about it. So it's like he's not like super boisterous or whatever. And then like also guys like Austin Ash, Michael Bear, like make things really fun. And we have a nice little mix of like the kind of like veteran like experience. And then like also like young guys with like lots of like fun energy. So it's like those two things together, I think, and like it makes like a really fun group, and I'm kind of like in the middle, so like that's something that like is I think a really unique perspective for me. So it's like I would just say like we have a lot of really fun personalities on our team that keep things interesting and keep things fun. And like I said, we played the wiffle ball game yesterday, because at the end of the day, dude, like yeah, we're trying to win, but like it's a game and we're a team. Like we want to be having fun with this, bro. Like. Cause I remember I used to really struggle with like performance anxiety and like stuff like that, like before the season, like, and I remember my dad just kind of sat me down cause he knew that I was like struggling with this or whatever. And he's like, dude, like it's supposed to be fun. You're supposed to have fun playing the game. And I think that was something that I had lost sight of almost for a little bit of a point there, because like, I was just so focused on trying to produce and trying to prove everybody wrong and trying to do what I can. But it's like, I'm supposed to have fun with it, bro. And so like I think that's something that we've able to been kind of keep in our sights, because it's like at the end of the day, man, like it's a game. Like this is the best time of our lives, so it's like we gotta make the most of it, and we gotta have fun with it. Obviously we're gonna win, we're competitive as hell, every single one of us, and we're gonna try to do our best, and we're gonna make sure we prepare ourselves in a way to where we can like do what we are capable of doing. But it's also something that it's like we're in college, and we also need to kind of keep it lighthearted at times too, and have fun with it, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, one person I thought of when you were just saying that was, I was thinking about LeBron after his first season with the Heat, where he played angry that whole year, just trying to prove everybody wrong, came up short. Exactly. And then when he just let it go and was like, hey, I'm just going to have fun. We're going to ball out. We're going to try to win championship.
He produced. Yeah, no, exactly. Then they started winning, because yeah. You just put so much pressure on yourself, bro. So it's just like, you just need to kind of like, that's kind of something that I've always struggled with. It's like, it's a game, dude. Like, I've been playing this game my whole life. Like, it's just like, that's why it's like I just go out there and I just play. Like, I've played thousands of basketball games throughout my life. It's just like, can't treat anyone any different, no matter if I'm playing in a football stadium or playing in our practice gym or playing in whatever. But it's like, I'm playing the Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament, the Final Four, whatever. They just kind of just go out there and play basketball, man. It's just like, it's a game. It's supposed to be fun for us.
My final question for you is, what should Hawks fans be excited about with the next few weeks ahead, or just the next game ahead if we're going game by game? Like, what should Hawks fans be talking about, be hyped about, just with, you know, us being a 2 seed going into March Madness?
I would just say, like this is, like not to toot our own home, but it's, like, this is, like, a historic team. Like, we've done some stuff that not many people have done, like, in the history of this universe. So I would say – mainly just like enjoy the ride, like just like have fun with every second of it, because like Luka Garza, I don't think he's gonna come back next year. Like Jordan Mohan, and I don't think he's gonna come back next year. Like Joe Wieskamp, maybe. I don't know. But it's like those are three of the best players in program history. Embrace it. Enjoy it. Like, have fun with it instead of always trying to, like, bitch about it and try to, like, find the negatives about everything. So I would just say enjoy the ride because that's what we're going to do. Like, we're going to have fun. We're going to play hard. We're going to play smart. We're going to play together. Like, we're going to have fun. I would just say, like, my biggest thing is just enjoy it and stop looking at all the negatives of everything. It's like, oh, well, maybe you should have played this guy more or done this and this. Like, just, like, enjoy it, man. Because at the end of the day, like, this is not a once-in-a-lifetime type team, but it's like this is a really good fucking team that we have to make it some serious noise and something we've been building towards for a little bit here now. So it's like it's something that, like, I would just say enjoy it because you don't know. Like playing in the NCAA tournament is not guaranteed for any team. It's not. Look at Kentucky. Like, look at Duke. They're not playing in the NCAA tournament. Like, it's not guaranteed for any fan base or anybody. So it's like, take it, like, embrace it, like, have fun with it, just enjoy it. Cause that's what we're gonna do, like I said. So it's just like, just have fun with it, man.
One thing I didn't ask you, but I just remembered in this recent game against Illinois, Josh Ogundole got in. How fucking excited was everybody about that?
So happy, bro, because, like, we all love him. Like, bro, he is one of the funniest people I remember in my life. Like, he's so funny, and he's one of the freshmen that brings that, like, really positive energy and, like, everything like that. So it's like everybody loves Josh, and, like, he's a character and he's really funny. And, like, I remember, like when they put him in, we were all, like, everybody was gassing him, trying to help him out, give him confidence. And, like, when he played for, like, 30 seconds, but he played well. He did exactly what he was out there to do. Like, spare Luka for a little bit, like, keep him out of foul trouble for a second, and, like, just go out there and, like, try to slow him down. Use your body, use your strength. And he did a great job of that. And I was really happy for him that he was able to come in and produce like that.
No, I was just – I want to ask about a moment like that because I just think it's a really wholesome moment for this team, especially to, you know, have – really high expectations already coming into this year, and to go through how many different, you know, examples of adversity to be in that game against Illinois and have that moment, and still everyone's absolutely, like, gassing them up, like you said, like, that just shows, like, what it really is about, just living in the moment and just making the most of it with your boys. Like, that's really what it is. You won't have you might not have moments like this ever back.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and, like, everybody gets the year back, but we don't know who's coming back next year. Like, I'm coming back. I know that. And I know certain people are coming back, and I know certain people are leaving. So it's like it's our last chance to really do something, like, as a group. So it's like, why wouldn't we want to take advantage of that? Like, these opportunities are limited. So it's like, you want to have fun with it, bro. And I think, like, everybody in our team, like, really loves each other. Like literally. And, like, that's no bullshit, bro. Like, there's no beef on our team. That's something that I think, like, a lot of people, like, kind of misconception about college basketball is they think every team is like that. It's not, bro. It's not. Like, not every team is we're all attached just like this, bro. It's just like everybody has fun with each other, and, like, we're all just playing, man, and it's just fun, and we're all going to take advantage of this opportunity and try to do what we can with it, and really hope we're able to make some noise for our fans. Well, and more importantly, for ourselves.
Amen to that, brother. Well, for everyone listening, we just want to say thank you for coming on. And if we don't talk to you before your first game, kick some fucking ass. As always, not the same time, same place. We will see you guys later.